to you, O Lord. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one of any of these things they had seen. This is the Gospel of the Lord. May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. And first of all, probably a slight apology, although some people might say, "Oh, wow, good." It won't be an absolutely long sermon because it was sort of only 2 weeks ago when Susie got in touch with me over in Jib and said, "Can you come?" But this is some of my thoughts on the Transfiguration and that Gospel reading this morning. And to be honest, that Gospel reading is one of my favourite Gospel pieces. The story of the Transfiguration is the story of the disciples seeing Jesus for what he really is. And that's something we all struggle with, really, isn't it? You know, what is Jesus? Who is he? What does he look like? And the story begins 8 days after Peter saying that Jesus is the Messiah of God. And Jesus telling them how he must undergo suffering, death, and resurrection. And I'm guessing that was what it was the bishop last week, probably Bishop Matthew, was talking about last week. The place of the Transfiguration traditionally is thought of as Mount Tabor, or sometimes Mount Hermon. We're not quite sure. And there is actually a fortress on the top of Mount Tabor, so it's thought it probably may have been Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is over 9,000 feet high and 11,000 feet above the Jordan Valley. If it is Mount Hermon, then the action probably happened somewhere on the mountain rather than right there on the top. And I was there with Heather some years ago, and it certainly is an extremely powerful place, and you can feel the Spirit of God in your presence there. And for Jesus and those disciples, the reason for going up the mountain was for Jesus really to be alone, to pray to his Father, to pray to God. You certainly can't be alone there now. When Heather and me were there, it was just full of pilgrims and tourists, and you're nodding, you've been as well, yeah, and the coaches are coming and going, and it really is a tourist place, isn't it? I think there's even a souvenir shop up there, but there you go. But Jesus' visit is much quieter. It was in quieter times, and it reflects the time when Moses went up the mountain to talk to God and to receive the law, remember? When Moses came down from the mountain, he didn't realize as well that his face was shining, just as it describes Jesus in this reading. We're told that the disciples were weighed down with sleep. And it seems actually those disciples were very often tired, weren't they? You know, they went to sleep in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus has always seemed to have a bit of a problem keeping those disciples awake. But it could also be that here is an attempt by the writer, Luke, to show how the disciples' eyes were opened to the glory of Jesus. It's when their eyes are opened and they are fully awake that they behold his glory. And with that vision of Jesus in his glory, the disciples then see Moses and Elijah in their glory. And Jesus then fulfills both the law as given by Moses and the prophets as represented by Elijah. So they're both there with him, Elijah being the greatest of the prophets. And both Elijah and Moses had encounters with God on a mountain in the past. And Elijah went up to God in the whirlwind with a chariot and horses of fire. So we've got these two great leaders, Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. But they're talking about his departure. Actually, in the original, before it was translated, it may have been better to have left it like that. It talks about Jesus' exodus. So Jesus is preparing to go. Like Moses, Jesus is going to go through a time of trial to bring his people to the promised kingdom. So that cloud then overshadows them. And it's like a pillar of cloud, we're told, that went with Moses and the Israelites through the desert. And like that cloud that covered the tent of meeting when the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle in Exodus, this luminously represents the hidden glory of God. And it's the cloud that hides the glory. For humans can't bear too much of the glory of God. We get blinded by it, don't we? So as if to confirm this, there is also the voice that comes from the cloud. And the voice says, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And once again, it is affirmed that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is therefore God in human flesh. Listen has with it the implication of listen and obey. Listen. And now, all of a sudden, the disciples are alone with Jesus. Moses and Elijah have gone. And those disciples who were with him had seen all this, and they can never be the same again. So we have to stay awake, no matter how heavy our eyes become. Be vigilant and see the glory of God. And here's a little story that I came across the other day that illustrates this, and it comes back to a couple of saints, Celtic saints. And it's about Cuthbert and Aidan, who you've probably heard of. And on the night of the 31st of August, 651, so about this time of the year, the young man Cuthbert was guarding sheep against robbers and wild animals. And that young Cuthbert was only 16 years old, so he was like a young shepherd. But he possessed a spear and a horse. That was his tools of his trade, if you like. And while he stayed alert and watching, the shepherds slept just like those disciples. The night was clear. It was full of stars. Then during the night, Cuthbert suddenly saw angels descending to the earth. And then angels going to heaven. And Cuthbert sought to awaken the shepherds, but they missed seeing what he saw. And this made Cuthbert say, "What wretches we are. We are given to sleep and sloth, so that we never see the glory of those who watch with Christ." those who watch with Christ unceasingly. And then the next day, Cuthbert learned that Aidan had died. And he then went and offered himself to become a monk at the monastery of Melrose. So you see, true vision nearly always demands obedience and a change of direction. But importantly, be alert, be awake to the glory of our Lord.